Hello and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, London Super Comic Con Special.
Hey.
Yay! As we're currently recording this, we're stood behind a table, trying to not look scary to the general public. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the Red Mask from Mars and Stalkerville, and joining me for this chaotic weekend are Dan Butcher, creator of Vanguard. Say hello, Dan.
Hello.
And Tony Esben, creator of whatever's going to happen to us over this weekend. Say hello, Tony.
Hello, Tony.
As always, you know what these clip shows are going to be like. Totally unprofessional and full of interviews with brilliant creators. We've got a few lined up, haven't we?
We have, yeah. Not very good ones, but we've got a few lined up.
So stay tuned, and for the next hour or so, we'll be talking absolute bollocks.
Hour? Fucking hell.
Enjoy.
I'm here with Neil Gibson from Twisted Dark and T-Pub, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Is T-Pub your firm, is it? Or?
Yeah, it's a firm, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So is it just you? Is it a collective, or is it you the governor, or?
I am the owner of the firm, it is like a team effort. We're all, in together.
Well, you kindly sent us Twisted Dark One the other day, which I absolutely loved, I have to say, really enjoyed.
You have a great taste.
Thank you. So what's what volume are you up to? Volume 5 now, is it?
No, volume 6 is out. Well, okay, 5 and 6 aren't released yet. We're allowed to sell them at conventions, but with the contract we've signed, we can't sell them in bookstores until later this year.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So have you signed a contract with bookstores, essentially, or is it with a different company?
We're allowed to do promotional materials, which are allowed to sell at conventions, but it first has to go out through bookstores, like, you know, the retailers, and then it's allowed to be sold online and through our store. Because okay. It's all done through Diamond.
Okay, so Twisted Dark is the horror anthology. Are you still writing them all in it, are you?
I've written, volumes 1 to 6 is I've written every story, because that's the base. That sets that there's 100 recurring characters. It's kind of like Game of Thrones, where all the stories build together towards one big ending. But for season 2, we're actively looking for other writers, because I know where all the characters are ending up, but I want to get a different voice, so it's not just me doing it, and hopefully we keep it more interesting.
Yeah. How will that feel? Because I know a lot of writers, like Moorcock, for example, does that with his Eternal Champions stories, doesn't he? How will it feel handing over characters to other people?
Well, I'll still edit it, so that means I'm guaranteed I'll be happy with it, because I actually have a Venn diagram printed in front of me,
right.
Which I talk through with other writers. We both have to be happy, because it's their work, they're the writers. But I have to be happy that it's a standard we like. And it's actually Turncoat, which is a comic written by Ryan O'Sullivan.
Which we've talked about as well on the show. Yeah, we really enjoy.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Well, Ryan did a great job on that. Excellent. But when he first started, he would be pissed off for 3 days after every editing session.
Really?
And then afterwards, he'd come back and say, yeah, you were right. But it's faster now, but it's... I had to learn how to be an editor and be more gentle, because normally I just say exactly what I think, whereas now I've learned to say, okay, what are you trying to communicate, and work that through that way.
Okay. So where are you finding your artists? Because you use an awful lot of artists, don't you?
Well, nowadays it's much easier. They come to us and they pitch their stuff to us, whereas before, in the early days, it was tough to find good artists. But if I was starting from scratch, Pencil Jack's a good place. Comics Experience is, you get more professional artists that way. But it all depends on what you're trying to do, because if you're on a tight budget, you can't afford the real professionals, because they're professionals. So a great place to find artists is Artist Alley here at the Comic-Con, and see people that you like, show them your stuff, and see if they're willing to work together in a collaboration. And then just keep improving both your writing and the art you use.
Okay, because so you pay a bit, basically you pay a start fee, so you don't pay at the back end or anything like that, no?
We don't, because we don't believe in it. We think people should need to eat. So we pay them front, and we also give them back end fee as well. But it depends where you are and what you're able to do. I encourage as many people to make comics as possible. And your first thing you make might not be good. It might be brilliant. And if you can only get someone working for free, maybe the art's not that great. But as long as you keep making and learning and improving, you can gradually move up. And as you sell, you're able to make more. You can kickstart it, and you can make more comics, and eventually you can break in.
Okay, that's cool, because you're quite design heavy as well. You've got a real sort of, when I walk in a convention, I know your stall. Is that down to you? Or
I'd like to take credit, but no.
Good man.
I hired one of our first artists to come up with the logo for the company. Casper Wingard, who's doing Limbo now, he did the front cover for Twisted Dark, which is the face we use.
Yep.
So you've got to play to people's strengths. I'm a writer, so I have no talent for art, and I've got no talent for coloring especially.
Right.
So that means I know that at least, so I find people who are good at that stuff so they can help us in that area.
I have to say, mate, absolutely brilliant. And what I love most about it is it avoids the cliche, your stories. You know, there's no like a load of good-looking teens running through the woods. You know, there's an idea to each thing. Did it take you a long time to formulate a whole Well, a whole universe almost, or
honestly, well, because I actually feel awkward about this, because I actually write very quickly. Right. Like there was a film crew who wanted to film one of our stories, and they didn't get permission from us, and they actually went ahead and they cast it, and they booked actors, and they booked the venue and everything. And my executive producer found out, and then and shut them down. Well, I felt guilty for them, so I said, and I wrote them a story in 3 hours for them to film. I can write very quickly, but not everyone can do that. But at the same time, I can't write fantasy very well, like things with that are very creative. I find real world stories very easy, but creative stuff that's very different, like something like Saga, that would take me so long to write because that's not easy for me.
Well, because these stories are more punchy, would you say? Or?
Well, I can write stories that are quite punchy and impactful in short format quite easily. But coming up with a concept for a long story is a different matter entirely, as is writing comedy is a different matter. The reason I'm saying all this is, again, because I'm trying to encourage other creators, is that you will naturally find one area where you're better than others. It doesn't mean you should ignore the other areas, but especially when you're starting, play to your strengths.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, of course, completely. Yeah, no, it's very interesting to hear you say that. And it's quite a task. I was very impressed about you've written all these stories. It's rare that we see this, you know.
I actually have about the same... again already in draft for the rest of the series, because I've got many other stories, but I'm a little bit paranoid about it getting too similar. I don't think they are, but that's why I want other writers, because that would, and also frankly the reason I got into comics in the first place is because I love reading good stories. So if I can read other writers' stuff and go, oh, that's great, I get excited about comics again. So I really do want other people on board.
Super, mate. Are you a notebook keeper? Are you or?
I use Evernote. Have you heard of that?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Okay, so I have. I can show you. I've got a massive list. I've got things like, is it for Twisted Dark, Twisted Sci-Fi, Twisted Fantasy? All my different titles I've got there. I've got ideas for plots, characters. I go, oh, that's a great idea. I write it down and I never look at it again.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So normally,
is that safety net, maybe. Is it?
Well. Occasionally, like once or twice a year, I'll go through it again and go, oh, that's a good idea. I can use that. But normally I get inspired for an idea and I write a story on the spot and I don't need to go back to my notes.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping in the future at some point I'll use them at some point.
That's really interesting, mate.
Go on. Okay, on a separate issue, what we're doing in 3 weeks, we're launching a platform to help other people make their own comics.
Okay.
So it'll be on our website and we'll share it at conventions. And all we need is your email, and then we'll email you a pack, step-by-step instructions if you're new to comics, how to do things, how to actually do the roughs, how to do the lettering, how to do all the different aspects. And we're going to give that for free to people. And then if they like it, then we're also going to do the next level is like for a nominal fee. We'll do webinars. We'll answer questions, give feedback to people, try and create a new generation of creators.
Oh, wow. It's really interesting. We'd love to hear more about that. When's that launching, sorry?
Probably in about 3 weeks. I just need time to get the first pack together, because the webinars, everything will come a bit later, but my first stage is just to get something that people can use. It has to be, it can't be too complex, because people, if it's too much material, they won't use it. It has to be useful, so they actually do something with it, and it's getting the right balance. So I've got it drafted, but I'll go through it in more detail. I'll be in contact with you.
No, definitely, let us know. Yeah. Where can people find you, Sam?
Our website is tpub.co.uk, or you can just Google Twisted Dark and you'll find us from that way.
And you're on Twitter as tpub, are you?
T-Pub Comics, yeah.
T-Pub Comics. Brilliant. I recommend it. I hadn't read it before. I've seen you at conventions. And you know what we're like. We walk around and we don't buy everything, do we? But after you send me that, I'm definitely a fan. Brilliant stuff. Really good.
Thank you. As I said, you've got great taste.
Thanks, mate. Cheers, sir.
Right, so I'm here at the Awesome Pod Table, and Ken Reynolds of Cognition and Sliced has come up to say hello. How are you, Ken?
I'm good, cheers.
Yeah. How's the convention been for you?
Yeah, it's nice just wandering around. I've got a massive list of books, mostly your fault. So I've got a big bag of books, and
it's Dan's fault. Dan's giving me a funny look. I'm taking no blame for any of this. Yeah. But it's been good though. Is that you spent far too much money?
Yeah, far too much. Absolutely. But I've met loads of people that I've only known online that I've been making comics with. So that's a good bit.
So what's the next thing you got coming up?
The second issue of Slice Quarterly. Probably. That should hopefully be about April. We're about halfway there with it, I think.
Ah, nice. So we're going to have to get you on the show, aren't we?
Yeah, can do.
If you're nice to us.
If you're nice to me.
No one's ever nice. Anyway, thanks for dropping by, Ken.
Hello, everyone. I'm here with Simon Burke, who's got the Kickstarter currently going for Sinners issue 2, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us a bit about it, Simon.
Sinners issue 2 obviously carries on. We did a Kickstarter last year for Sinners issue 1. It follows the story of Hope, who is a girl who wakes up dead, unfortunately, and then the day just gets worse from there. She sort of consigned to, she has to drive a limo around America, where she the GPS tells her where to pick up the next sinner from. So issue 2 starts dealing with the 7 deadly sins, and it deals with the sin of pride. So she goes and she picks up a chap who's a little bit too big for his boots, shall we say, and it all goes from there.
Okay, so that's the what happens in issue 2. So you're doing a sin per issue. Have you got an intro issue, issue 1, and you're doing a sin per issue now? Is that the plan?
What we're going to do, it's a series that covers 12 issues, so 7 of those issues will be each for the 7 deadly sins, and then the other issue is sort of like world building or comic verse building sort of issues. So yeah, that's the idea.
I've not seen anything by you before, dude. What have you done before?
I've got another comic out called Gone, which is a sci-fi mystery type comic, which is completely different, but I've also written screenplays. I've co-written a screenplay called The Search for Simon, which Michael Palin said was very funny, or very silly, so that just made my day. Yeah, same thing. We've just shot our own film, our feature film, and that's just finished post-production, so.
Okay. How have you found using Kickstarter? Have you found it user-friendly? Have you had any troubles with it, or...?
No, Kickstarter itself is fine. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's fine. I mean, obviously, some of the frustrating things are the when somebody drop out and stuff like that. So you think you're so far along, and then it drops out. But apart from that, which is life, I suppose, when you look at it. It's fine.
Okay, yeah, I have to say, I really enjoyed the art. So who's your artist on Sinners?
A guy called R.H. Stewart, who is currently at the Comic Con here today. A couple of years ago, 2013, I searched around different Comic Cons trying to find an artist for this sort of dark noir type story. Okay. And I happened to be, I picked up one of the Afterlife anthologies from the guys there, and Roy was one of the artists there.
So English-based guy, is he? Or?
Yeah, he's based up in Leeds. So.
Oh, right, wow, because we find a lot of people sort of outsourcing to other countries because of the sort of net. Are you searching beyond England for artists for other projects? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't mind. It's perfectly fine. As a writer and thus producer, it's kind of the expensive part. You know, it's the expensive role, right? You know, paying the artists, then, which is perfectly fine. And obviously, what should be done. So I've used a website which has allowed me to get in contact with people from Hungary and in that sort of Thailand sort of way as well. They're different things. So the Thailand chap is doing sort of like an anime type comic for me. It's good. So
that's brilliant, mate. So did you just give us an advert to where we can find you on the web and what your sort of social media presence is?
Okay. To find me on the web my website is simonbirks.com, I'll spell it, which is S-I-M-O-N and B-I-R-K-S.com. So simonbirks.com, and there's a lot of links there through to the comics and the films that we do and everything else. Obviously, Facebook page, I've got Simon Birks Writer, and there's a Sinners Comic Facebook page as well. So.
Brilliant. Thanks, mate. Cheers,
mate. All right. No worries. Thank you.
This is Dan from the Awesome Comics Podcast. I'm talking to John Late.
You two are like a couple.
Thank you, Tony.
Absolutely.
The too close to normality crew and Bread and Brawn. So how's the con going so far?
It's not too bad. It started off a little bit slow. It's picked up in the last hour or so, but yeah, it's not been too bad. Not been the best sales, but we're trying to get the word out there about Close to Immortality.
Have you done London Super Comic Con before?
Me, personally, no. I've never done it, but the other guys have done it. Phil Woodward's been here before, Jane Martin and Chris Sides, they've all been here before, so... They know the sort of the layouts, even though they've said it's changed a fair bit since the last couple of times they've been here.
So with Bread and Brawn issue 2, that's just been successfully kick-started, is that right?
Yes, yeah, it's on about 2,700 now. We funded it within about 12 hours last time. It was amazing. The first one went for about 24 hours, this one went in 12 hours, so it looks like mental. Yeah. It slowed down a little bit now. Obviously, it's midway through the 30-day period, but they tend to pick up a little bit near the end. But yeah, it's going great guns at the minute.
So presumably, if 2 goes fine, it'll be on to 3.
Yeah. Well, I've just started laying out issue 3, just a little bit of story development, because I've brought on a few more different artists this time around. It's just seeing if they're available. Yeah. If they're not available, it's who am I going to get somebody else in? I don't want to change it too much again because it's going to look quite different from the first issue. second issue is going to look a little bit more, probably going to be look a little bit more mainstream than the first one. So, yeah, threes hopefully should be done by the end of the year.
Me and you are working on a project together, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, yeah, we got a little something. I don't know how much we can speak about
yeah,
that, actually, Dan. But it's obviously, we've got a story in an anthology that's hopefully going to be a monthly anthology. It's a story I wrote last year as it was going to be a Future Shock, and basically I've expanded on that, and obviously I've sent you a few pages recently. And
yeah, it's cracking. The script is wicked. I can't wait to start cracking or getting going on it, really. So, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, a few other bits above. I'm working with a guy called Grant Richards, who's an unbelievable artist as well. We've got something going on there. We're looking at putting a 7-page pitch together as well. So,
awesome.
Really looking forward to that one as well.
Cool.
Nice one. Cheers, Dan. Cheers,
thanks,
mate.
Okay, I'm here with Rory Donald, who's working on the Maddiest book at the moment. Do you just want to tell us a little bit about it, Rory?
Yeah, just working on Griff Gristle with Rob Jones and Mike Sandbrook. I think we've been doing it for about a year now. It's just come to the end now. I've just handed all the paper in, all the drawings. There's going to be a Kickstarter project, and I believe it's going to kick off in about a month's time, maybe just under. So
you're doing the art. Can you tell us a little bit about it? Or
Yeah. Well, as far as I can tell about it, it's like a mix between... Well, Rob sold it to me, actually. It's a mix between sort of Constantine meets Hellboy meets...
Never believe that man.
No, well, this was it. As he was speaking, like, there was a little alarm bells going off in the back of my head. Like, yeah. And I thought, I'll just draw it. You tell me what you want, I'll draw it. But, it's a kind of a... He's a grizzly old sea dog kind of a character, you know, and... This opening book introduces you to him, obviously, in a little bit of his world, and he seems to be fighting along with the damned and the underworlds of the watery based variety, I'd say. Yeah.
What have you done before, Roy? For people who aren't acquainted with your work,
I did something else for Maddie. On Paper Cuts and Ink Stains #2. I did Cast Adrift in there, a little sci-fi noir story sort of thing. A little bit heavily inked, I found afterwards when I looked at it, but it came out right. And I've done a little thing for Fly Comics with Neil Sandbrook.
I know him very well, he's a good lad, isn't he? Yeah, really good.
I've just met him today, actually, at last, yeah. He was sending me a message last night about the prices of the beer in the pub, and I was in the wrong pub, and I'm sat there agreeing with him, and it turns out I was in a completely different end of the building. So, a lovely fellow, and I did a couple of... It was only a short story one for him called Final Days.
Is that in Time Worm, or is that...?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was a little 2-page one in the middle there. He seemed very pleased about that. And that was my first sort of couple that broke me into the comics bit at the minute, which is what I've always wanted to do. Apart from that, I've done loads of illustrations for books, a couple of children's books called Pigs Might Surf, and there's another one of those coming out later in the year. And another book called The X-Tractor, which was...
Is that an X-Men spin-off?
I wish. It was a bit highbrow. It was a bit above me. The writers are very, very intelligent. He was ex-political correspondent for Sky News. And it was his first book since he retired, and he asked me to illustrate it. So I illustrated it with just instructions alone. I even told him as well, I said, I didn't read it, mate, to be honest, because as soon as I got in the opening chapter, I couldn't understand a bloody word of it. So, I've done a couple of books like that at the minute.
Nice one, mate. Thanks. Where can we find you online?
I'm online on Twitter. I'm not Daredevil4. And my website is reachillustration.com. All my stuff's on there, and there's a few pictures of Griff on there that haven't gone online yet. So,
nice one. Thanks, man. Cheers.
All right, it's Sunday morning, and I'm here with Mark from Hellbound Media. How are you, Mark?
I'm fine. I'm very good. You're also here with Matt Warner, who's stood there silently observing.
Yeah, he stood over there in the corner, pretending to look at things and looking sexy. Lovely. How's LSCC going for you?
It's very cool. Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. LSCC, it's a first time here. It's a lot of fun.
Because you've got like a lot of horror. Yours is all horror-based sort of stuff. How do you find that kind of stuff does at this kind of show?
Well, when we say it's sort of horror-based, I mean, we do horror of all kinds. You know, everything from, we sort of say, Dot 2 Buffy level to Ban This Filth, you know.
Attention, please. In the interest of your health and safety, please...
I think they're talking to you, Mark.
In the event of a fire investigation, you will hear the following announcement. Attention please, Mr. Goodfellow.
She's got quite a sexy voice.
Yeah. Who is this Mr. Goodfellow?
Who knows? He's everywhere though.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If the fire procedure is cancelled,
the thing is, with codes these days, people associate them more with like bomb scares. So they say Mr. Goodfellow, and they're actually going to cause more of a panic.
I think Mr. Goodfellow also sounds a little bit like a serial killer.
Also sounds like something who might deliver you pizza.
and kill you.
Excellent.
Hey, that's an idea for a book.
Oh, yeah, it's our next one.
The final piece of the
thank you very much. So, Mark, as we were saying, you do a lot of horror books with the Hellbound Media.
Not just extreme. We do extreme horror, Slaughterhouse Farm. It's a grindhouse, real kind of nasty piece, which a bit tongue. Probably get banned.
An acquired taste, but those that love it, love it.
Exactly. But on the opposite end of the spectrum, Mandy the Monster Hunter is actually suitable for most ages. You know, it's nothing in there that you wouldn't get in something like Doctor Who.
And that's a character who fights like the monsters under the bed and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, she works for kids. So as kids draw a picture of the monster, it'll find its way to Mandy. She'll strap her armour on, made of its monster, and come and help them. So she's like a playground urban legend.
Yeah. You got two books of that out now, haven't you?
Yeah, we did the original one-shot, Mandy and the Monster, which is sort of the almost the prototype now. And we've just, our latest release is the Mandy Book of Monsters, which is an anthology by different artists exploring different aspects of Mandy's world and starting to expand it, really. Yeah.
Is there going to be more Mandy in the future? I mean, obviously, you've just launched Monsters, haven't you? But you must have so many more stories to tell.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And if you pick up a book of the Mandy Book of Monsters, at the back, it actually has a little preview of the next.
It's got some lovely pin-ups as well.
It does have some lovely pin-ups. And when you say lovely pin-ups, that's not like bikini being that. It's horrendous monster pin-ups. I mean, there's this one dodgy one with some things on the bed by this guy called Vinny, but
That one's crap.
I know, it's so crap, we also made it as a postcard and a print because we need to get the mileage out of it, you know.
just run that artist dry, you know. Yeah, you've got to make the most out of it.
Yeah, definitely. But, it's very good, though. Yeah. We even have a Mandy t-shirt, though, and that is good.
Yeah. So where can people find, I mean, obviously the people that haven't been at London Super Comic Con, where can they find your stuff?
Oh, well, online, you know. Where, as well as being at a lot of cons, we have our website.
You do a lot of cons, don't you? That's it. Yeah.
We do. We con everyone. Wait.
Yeah, because you don't just have books as well. You've got like the puzzle box from Hellraiser and stuff like that as well.
A few things. I mean, we started off, you know, a lot of the people, artists originally we work with are Hellraiser fans, and that's we started doing our own horror books, and we just kind of expanded it because I think horror kids love monsters and being scared as well. For me, growing up, Doctor Who was like a gateway drug to more adult horror, essentially.
Yeah.
And we want to do something. We want to have horror for all ages and all types. Because as a genre, people see it in a really limited way. And you know, your horror spoofs have a very limited scope what you look at. But we're doing sort of action with vampires, doing psychological stories. We're doing Hammer horror inspired things. We're doing gory grindhouse slashers. We're doing stuff that's more Doctor Who and your family.
So it's something for everyone. Something for all the family, but not really for all the family.
Exactly. I mean, you know, don't show your nan probably.
Yeah. Well, you say that about any of my books. So where can they find your website?
Our website is www. Wow, I bet you didn't see that bit coming. Hellboundmedia.co.uk.
Nice.
I know, nice and simple. We're also on Facebook. Find us on Facebook / Hellbound Media. And as I say, find us at most cons now. Yes. You know, Artist Alley hiding away somewhere. Yeah.
Anyone that listens now, I'm a big horror fan, so you've got to check these guys out. So, says. Thank you very much for talking to me, guys.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day. Good.
Yeah, I will.
So, it's Sunday, and me and Tony are doing the roving reporting for a little bit. Dan's manning the fort, and we're here with...
He's a bit tired.
Yeah, he is a bit, isn't he?
He's a bit blue. Oh, yeah. Quickly, I'll show you this. We found this on his desk. This is his business cards. That may be the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's crazy. Has he got them on his table? Can I have one?
You can have that one. I'll get myself one.
Yeah, amazing. And that voice you hear there is Sarah Milman of the Heart of Time.
Milmo. Wow.
Milmo, as she's... Yeah, I'm ever so sorry, Sarah. How is your con going so far?
Good. Yeah, it's only just opened. It's a little bit quiet.
We are walking around Sunday morning. Everyone's tired, and we decided, this is the best time to go and talk to people about their books. What have you got here on your table, though?
Well, usual thing. I've got my book. I've got Heart of Time. You guys have probably heard all about it by now. But
yeah, we love a bit of that. Yeah, we love it.
But, you know, time travel, pugs, that kind of thing. But I'm sharing with Sean Jefferson today, who isn't here at the moment. She'll be back in a moment. You but oh my God. Jefferson. I think you can usually tell whenever anyone, like I'm on a podcast or anyone interviews me, if I go, oh my God, that person, they're usually really nice and amazing. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, oh God.
Yeah, she's never said it about us, has she?
Right. I go, oh, so, they're lovely.
Yeah. So how is it like sharing a table at a con like this?
It's good, actually. I find it quite stressful. Like, I've done MCMs by myself, and that is intense. It's really nice having someone to like look out for you, and if it gets really busy, or if it's just quite in on the opposite end of the scale, if it's really low, they kind of bring you up as well. Like, you know.
Yeah. And
though I think.
Get your coffee.
Yeah. Minion. No, it's good because
basically she's a horrible person and a minion.
You've done well there, haven't you?
Sorry, Sean.
We will be speaking to her later. Don't worry, I'll edit this out.
I'll tell you. I'm lying. I made that up.
But it's good because we kind of like, if we're having a low point, everyone gets a low point in a con. Yeah. So it's nice, like we sell each other stuff, so that's really good.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
It's like, you know, that's quite nice.
Well, we hope the rest of the day goes well.
We do.
The Heart of Time is awesome.
Very good.
Yes. And where can people find it and your stuff in general?
You can find my stuff at www.heartoftime.co.uk.
Nice. Well, right, let's find a Shan and like make Sarah look bad.
Got to serve some beef.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, lovely.
Okay, I'm here at London Super Comic Con with Mike Collins. Mike, you do a lot of cons. You don't mind me saying so, fair to say. How have you enjoyed this one in particular?
I really like London Supercon. What I like about it is that it's all about the comics. It's not, you know, various stormtroopers third on the left.
Yeah.
Coming down for it's actually people come here that like comics, enjoy comics, and get to meet and talk to comics creators, and we get to talk to them as well. So that's great.
What sort are you've just told me? I hate to ask you to repeat it all, but you're Mr. Doctor Who at the moment, aren't you? You're working for three different companies, is it? Or
I do the merchandising artwork for the BBC, which is. Well, they'd seen how Marvel and DC had done with all the retro gear, so like T-shirts and trainers and all this featuring 70s Marvel and DC artwork. Yeah. And they thought, oh, we can do something like that with Doctor Who. And because I've got a background in Marvel and a background in Doctor Who, they sort of approached me about doing it. And for me, it's a thrill because it means I get to sort of indulge my love of Doctor Who and indulge my love of 70s Marvel.
Brilliant.
So I get to do things like a Herb Trimp version of Tom Baker.
Oh, brilliant,
You know, a Jack Kirby version of Matt Smith, you know, so, and it's basically me just being a really big kid. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, yeah. What other cons are you enjoying? Because I think I last saw you at Melksham, I think. You did Melksham. Any other cons you could recommend to listeners to go to?
Well, definitely Melksham. Melksham's a fantastic one. Even though it's held in a small market town, it's one of the best cons I've ever been to. Hayley that runs that, he's just so on the ball with what she's doing. It's just an amazing piece. There's a couple in Birmingham. There's one at the cricket ground, which started last year, which is a really good one-day event, and that's happening again this year. That was lovely. And there's Ice, which happens later on in the year, which Shane Chesney runs, which is a fantastic show. Because what he's done with that, which is different, is he's had a day of just artists talking and drawing and traders there, and a day of workshops. So you can go along and you can see how comics are put together. And it's good for professionals and fans as well, because, you know, it's quite interesting listening to other guys in the same field as you talk about what their process is, and you suddenly find it's different to you, and it informs you, and it's an education. It's really,
and because I know you're based in Wales, aren't you?
Yeah.
And there's a couple, I think. Do you do SICE, the Cardiff Independent Comic Expo?
Yeah. Do you do that?
How have you found that so far? Or
The Cardiff Independent one's great, and it's lovely, because what's amazing about where I live in Cardiff is the number of comics creators that are all based in that area.
Yeah, we found that. We really have, yeah.
It's extraordinary. And it's not just superhero stuff. It's not just funny animal stuff. It's lovely little personal pieces, little quirky stuff. It's a great mix, and they're all lovely people. And it's nice to think that we've got that great community going on. Yeah.
Just I wouldn't go as far as say they're all lovely. I've met a couple not particularly, to be fair. Yeah, who do you really not like in Wales? Anyone?
Who do I not like in Wales? No,
I'll leave that. where can we find you online, and where are you appearing next, Mike?
Where am I appearing next? I think my next show is actually in Dumfries in Scotland. yeah, they're holding a show up there for the first time, so they invited me to that one, so I thought, I'll do that. I think after that, I'm in Ghent in Belgium. So it's definitely a world tour.
Yeah, nice. That's brilliant, Mike. Thanks, mate. Cheers. Okay. Yes.
Right, here we are on the Sun. Don't put me off, Tony. Here we are on the Sunday.
Your wife's hoodie.
I'm not wearing my... not married yet. Anyway, here we are on the Sunday
that's
of London.
He's wearing as well.
Don't you start as well, John. Don't be influenced
by
him.
I'm maintaining eye contact. It's very distracting.
I am here with John Locke and the Big Punch Studios gang. Nick but Angel's over there staring at me.
Hugging each other.
Alice is... she's the sensible one. Lucy's gone off somewhere.
Lucy's done a runner.
Yeah. Very wise. Sensible, very yeah. wise. But how are you guys doing? John, how are you? How are you?
In myself.
Yeah, yourself.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Yeah. Always nice to, it's just nice to get out of the house for a bit, really. You know,
looking forward to another day of big punching.
I've never felt more alive.
Like, that's not what you look like at the end of Saturday. Everyone looked quite dead at the end of Saturday.
Well, yeah, I mean, I love the Excel Centre, but you come here and it's like, you're in this little bubble reality for a weekend. We often fantasize about the world ending outside and the only people left to repopulate
that's
the planet.
Fantasy. For me, it's sort of Debbie Harry Kate Bush sandwich. You, it's the world ending. That's quite strange.
I didn't say.
Speaking of sandwiches,
I didn't say what we were wearing while the world
oh,
was ending.
Oh, that's true.
But literally, I think if the world ended, I don't think anyone would notice. Yeah. I mean, we're sharing the hall with the mother and baby show, Baby Con.
Yeah.
He likes that because he thinks there'll be girls he can get off with. He's going to cut that.
If only a podcast machine could capture haunted looks. we got the baby con, we got the classic car con,
crowd,
the franchise
you?
Con.
Comics. What's that about?
There's an awful lot of tweed on display.
Yeah. Most of the Big Punch Studios.
Yeah. We've rebranded. The orange was holding us back. We've got
tinned and jarred food. All the.
Oh, yeah. If you're just a little bit hungry, it's a little jar you can eat from.
This does seem to be a recurring feature of London Super Comic Con. The first ever one, my first ever show was London Super Comic Con 2012, and there was a Zumba convention going on in the same building.
Yeah, I remember there was a Zumba. So on one side of the hallway you had overweight, underweight fanboys, and on the other side you had a lot of quite hot girls in leggings.
There was a lot of baggy neon,
there was,
I feel.
Wasn't there? There was.
And
they're
just like, for once we weren't the weirdest people in the in the room. We kind of we fantasize again all these bizarre visions of the future. We imagined a kind of Zumba apocalypse. Yeah.
When the meds kick in, you
like that fucking don't let him copyright that because it'll be a board game Zumba apocalypse.
Oh yeah. Zumba apocalypse.
The downside is like when all the Zumbas come for you, like they're all just so damn healthy, and we're just like sedentary comic writers.
And
right.
With a, I give a point, you give me booty. That's how it works.
Anyway, what we're talking about? Oh, we're talking about comics. Yeah,
it's a dying industry. Get out.
Don't get in now. Leave it.
So, what has Big Punch got here at London Super Comic Con?
Well, we got full experience, Vince. It's never been so vivid or multi-dimensional. We got your Afterlife Inks, you got your Seven Strings, you got your Heavenly Chords.
Yeah,
we got BPM, a whole year's worth of BPM. Our magazine now. They laughed, but we did it.
Yeah. Nick was telling us that you're preparing for the second year, which means lots of energy drinks and medication. Isn't that right, Nick?
Yes, that's exactly right. Cigarettes, unstoppable amounts of...
Cigarettes? Do you smoke?
He inserts them.
These don't smoke. They have pipes. That's what they go.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Hobbits. Big fans of the Hobbit weed. Well, yeah, I mean, we've been a limited company for a year now, and we somehow got through the year without killing each other, and we managed to produce 4 issues of our quarterly magazine, available as a subscription from our website, which Vince will link you to, I'm sure. And also, we got a card game out, which is... it's like we...
The smash hit card game.
The smash hit card game, Sandwich Masters. And we never stopped to smell the roses. Like, it's been insane 5 months, and we suddenly realised...
Have you got a competition to try and get the most clichés in? It's like a football. It's like, didn't stop to smell the roses. Here we go. Keep going, my friend. Keep going.
Well, it's a game of two halves. And,
we didn't let your heads drop.
I think at the end of it, if I can score more ball points than the other opponents...
Ball points.
I hope to go for
this
a long.
This is like maybe our best interview ever. That's all I'm saying.
I think a long shot in the upper quadrant should give us a 95th percentile on the slapdown. As I've often said.
Oh, touche.
Go that's Oilers.
I feel like I'm hallucinating. Honestly, a little bit. Yeah.
That's just you alone.
Yeah.
quivering in the corner.
The Sandwich Masters has actually been like quite a smash hit at the show.
It really has, yeah. Surprise hit, I want to say. I think clearly we were wasting our time making those books. I think gaming is the way forward. Yeah.
Now that it's done and it's ready to rock, you can get back into Afterlife.
Well, yeah, I mean,
and everything else, can't you?
Yeah, last year was a year of trying new things. We did the new magazine, trying new things, yeah. Expanding. And now, we realise that, absence makes the heart grow fonder. We both we desperately now want to get volume 4 of Afterlife Inc. out, volume 3 of 7 String, issue 5 of BPM's out in a few weeks.
Yeah,
it's been nice catching up with some of our team here. Verity Glass, she's here exhibiting, our artist on Orb.
Really? Awesome.
Chatted with her yesterday. She sent over 10 magical pages of artwork last night because she's an absolute machine. And it's just awesome. And we've even started brainstorming another game this morning, a follow-up to Sandwich Masters. So,
blimey, what's that going to be like?
Can't tell you, Vince.
Is it about toast?
But Bun Kings.
You're the Bun King. Look at those.
That's
swinging in the breeze.
You can do anything.
Right, that's enough for John. Nick, what is it like talking to us again after a few days ago? Yes, he's had another orgasm. So that was the Big Punch Studios. Thank you. So where can people find your stuff? On Twitter and online?
Well, you want to go to www.bigpunchstudios.com. If you start searching Big Punch on Twitter, you'll get other... Basically, it's weird. When I search Big Punch, it comes up with big other things. It's curious. Big Punch, Punch Studios.
The studios is very, very
It's very
important.
Important. Do not just search Big on Twitter. Weird things will happen.
Yeah.
But Big Punch Studios and bigpunchstudios.com. So the magic happens.
Brilliant.
I think that's been my favourite interview. I'd like to shake your hand. I think you're better without a moustache.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's weighing me down, really.
He's weighing me down.
So hi there, I'm here with Marv Wolfman. Just going to ask him a couple of questions to see how he got on London Super Comic Con. So Marv, how did you find the weekend? Was it?
It's been a great weekend. The fans are great here. I haven't been to a British Comic Con since the 85.
Wow, okay.
Really?
Yeah, so this has been wonderful.
Which was the one you went to in 85?
UCAC.
I used to go to that. Me and Tony Israel, back in the day. That was a good Comic Con.
I was a guest of a publisher at another con, but it was never announced that I was there, so no, I don't count that as, and nobody knew I was there.
Yeah.
But
so how does this one compare to the bigger ones in the States you do?
Well, obviously this is a lot smaller than San Diego, which has 150,000 people, but I think it's a nice friendly size con, and the average convention that you see in the States is about this size, maybe a little bit smaller. Yeah. So it's really nice.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you had a good time, aren't you? We're big fans of you on the show. Yeah. So, thank you for talking to us. Cheers.
My pleasure.
I'm here with Jeremy Bastian, who's come over from Michigan, I'm right in saying. Yeah. Brilliant. Jeremy, I see it describes you as insanely detailed. What's that all about,
Well, I like a lot of detail.
Right, okay.
I spend a very long time on my pages. I love ornamentation and texture, and to really I try to create a universe that you almost practically fall into. It's just from gutter to gutter. I like to pack it full of information, and there's little things hidden here and there. And
do you still draw traditionally, do you, or do you?
Oh yeah. It's all, I pencil everything out pretty thoroughly, and then it's all inked with a brush, and it's actually all the artwork in the book is done actual size too.
Okay.
So it's very minuscule.
Okay. So no digital input at all at the moment, or?
I only use Photoshop to clean up my gutters and adjust levels and stuff before I send the files off to the publisher. But that's it.
So it's still almost old school.
Yeah.
Still feeling it. Yeah.
Well, I still use lots of whiteout, and if need be, sometimes I will have to cut out Bristol and glue it on top of my previous Bristol because I've screwed that image up too much, and whiteout just won't cut it anymore. So it's very old school.
Yeah, sure. So what have you got coming out at the moment? What sort of books are you here promoting or bringing out?
Well, my newest issue, which is an occurrence that doesn't happen too often, came out last year. They're calling it the Cursed Pirate Girl 2015 Annual. I think they just put annual on there because it took me so long to do. Well, it actually took almost 3 years to finish one book. And so it's not really like you're going to get another one next year. So that's one of my problems with them putting this annual label on it. So there's that. It's a 54-page chapter four to the series. I wrote it as a six-chapter story. Chapters 1 through 3 were collected into the volume one, which I have a new edition of that coming out as well. That'll be out towards the end of March. I was fortunate enough to get a box shipped to me for this show. So that's nice to have both books at the same time. And that's about it so far.
You're going to stay in the country for a while. Yeah. Will you draw any influence on your work from anywhere in the UK, do you think?
When I go places, I try to make it out to at least like a museum, sometimes more than one if I can. And military museums are some of my favorite, especially medieval armor and swords. And
we've got the Imperial War Museum, which is not far from here. It's pretty impressive. Yeah,
I try to do a little bit of research on what museums were available, but we have a pretty packed schedule as well.
Yeah,
we've got lots of things planned, lots of places we want to go to. So,
brilliant. You've got some customers, so I'll let you go. But that's really kind of you, Jeremy. Where can people find you online? Whereabouts?
Well, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I have a website. It's artofjeremybastian.com. And my Twitter handle is @JeremyBastian. My Instagram handle is @Jeremy_Bastian. I say this because there is both an @Jeremy_Bastian on Twitter.
I hate that bloke.
And @JeremyBastian on Instagram. So it's very confusing. If you were to search for #CursedPirateGirl, you'd probably find me a little easier that way.
I caught you in the 10 minutes before you had, between having customers, but that's because you've been pretty busy, haven't you?
It's been very good.
Great news. Thanks, mate. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Right, we're here with Kate Ashwin of the popular Widdershins, which I've ranted about on the show. She's very kindly agreed to talk to us. How has your London Super Comic Con been, Kate?
Awesome, yeah. I met some really nice people, and always good to catch up with a couple of comics friends and make some hopefully new readers.
Well, yeah, I just bought a book myself, so
yeah that's not too. We mostly just put people off when they come to our table.
Yeah, we put people off. Yeah, or we point them in the direction of another better book. Another better book. Yeah. So, tell us a little bit, for those who don't know. Tell us a little bit about Widdershins.
Well, it's a series of Victorian era adventure stories, and the way I tend to pitch it is, it's kind of like Indiana Jones with wizards.
I think you've just won a lot of people there with that one. So it's several different stories, isn't it?
Yeah. I like sort of taking the Discworld approach of introducing some characters in one book and bringing them back for a later book, and then trying a set of different characters in the meantime. And it means I can play with a really wide cast and show lots of different aspects of the same world. Yeah. So it's really, really fun.
So is there going to be moments where all these casts sort of interlink and they join together?
Oh, spoilers!
That never happened. No. We don't do spoilers on this show, do we? So no. We do spoil a lot of things, like everyone's day. But So I mean, you're currently, and that's one of the things that impresses me about this. You've got 5 books, collected books, and you're on the 6th currently.
I'm about 5 pages off finishing the 6th one.
So basically, you're a machine who never leaves the house.
Oh yeah, that's true. Leave the house. When we go to Sainsbury's, that's like I'm thrilled because that's me out the house. I'm like, yes, my social experience.
I'm surprised you don't order online and get it delivered.
We quite often do. That's why the Sainsbury's trip is the treat.
You ride like the trolley around the supermarket. I'll do that.
No, I make John push me.
So what? How did Widdershins come about?
I'd been doing my previous comic, Darken, mostly for fun. That was a sort of a Dungeons & Dragons based one. That was literally based on a Dungeons & Dragons campaign we were playing in. I was coming to the end of that and thinking that I wanted to do something that was entirely mine and not based on, a lot of other people's characters and, someone else's property, essentially. So I was thinking, what elements of what things do I really want to do? And I sort of love Victorian era.
Do you love a lot of Sherlock Holmes and that kind of literature?
I do like that sort of that era, but I also really love adventure stories, things like Tintin and Indiana Jones, like I said before, and that sort of fun rollicking yarn thing. So I kind of want.
Oh, rollicking yarn! That's the first time we've had that.
You don't get to say the words rollicking yarn enough, in the world.
You might stop saying that now.
No, it's true.
Word of the day.
But yeah, no, I was just kind of like, so I'll just combine these things that I want to do together, and I want to write a load of female characters and kind of break the usual rules of what people do in Victorian era stuff quite a bit, and you know, just have fun with it. So,
have you found, like, what other shows do you do, and what's the, like, the fan response to this?
I do MCM Expo, and because I've come back year on year, I've something like my fourth year of doing both of the London shows, you know. People really seem to be into it now. I mean, people will pick up one book at one show and then come back for the rest or start.
They're
going.
Really professional looking books, and you've got a really nice setup.
Thank you.
And the pin badges as well.
Oh,
so
yeah. Those are extras for the Kickstarter, basically. So, because I do a Kickstarter every year to get the books printed, because my God, I could not afford it otherwise.
It's really good stuff. So where can people find it?
They find it online at widdershinscomic.com.
Where can people follow you on Twitter?
That is Kate Draws Comics.
Awesome. Thank you very much for talking.
That's you.
Yes.
It's now clicked.
Comics, yeah.
Read me drawing.
She's infamous. Thank you very much, Kate.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm here with Vince.
Hello.
And me. And Duncan Fregado, how's the show been, Duncan, for you so far? Is this the first year you've done this one?
I did it about 4 years ago, I think.
Right.
Unless I'm mixing it with MCM.
Who knows, eh?
It's a warehouse with comics in, okay. So, but you know. And there's heat and there's people and revealing costumes.
Yeah.
It's a comic show.
That's just me and him.
Yeah. Yeah, put something on, lads.
I shouldn't have gone for Miss Marvel, should I?
No. You did go earlier, I saw
but
you.
Tony, Power Girl, Power Girl becomes
it's
you.
The boob window. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. Just a little more shaving next time, please.
This is normally our interviews go one of
I know.
What have you got coming out next, Duncan?
I guess the first things that come out would be a run of covers on BPRD. I think there's 8 of those in a row.
Okay.
Two different series, a series covering a story by Cameron Stewart.
He's here,
yes.
Isn't he, as well, I guess.
He is actually. And there's another guy I've just realised I ought to go and say hello to. I mean, it's a good thing that I'm knackered.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the second one covering Lawrence Campbell's work. So
yeah,
that's a 5-issue series.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
We talk secrets, Mignola things.
Oh, dear,
and
you're
part
of the
inner circle, absolutely. Yeah.
Is it sort of like a Lovecraftian sort of cult? You all sort of.
Yeah. We don't wear black robes during the day at cons or anything because we just get mistaken for cosplayers.
Yeah.
And naked flames aren't allowed, so we can't be, you know, black candles aren't allowed.
Yeah.
Skulls also a no. The police are patrolling through the halls. So.
Actually, I'm not sure if they're the police or they're cosplay police.
I actually did call them over and say, awesome costumes, guys.
Yeah. Well, they hit you.
Yeah. They were very good. They were very good, actually. I had an explanation of how many layers they're wearing too many.
Oh, nice.
Because I think they were fire police normally, so he's got like thermal gear and protective gear underneath. And
yeah.
You don't need all this on this.
I was about to say, this is the best layers conversation ever on a podcast.
Yeah.
I'm liking it. Yeah.
We can segue into Photoshop. There's layers in there. And that's today's technical tool.
So I go to the Photoshop occasionally where I get them done there.
No, that's boots.
All right.
Oh,
that's
right.
Boots.
Okay. Yeah.
Point to print.
Yeah. So you got any other cons coming up? Or?
Yeah, a bunch of cons. I won't remember in the right order. I'm doing TCAF this year.
Oh, are you? Okay.
So, yeah,
Rachel
I'm not...
Rachel Smith's going there. Yeah? We were just chatting to her.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, I've not been there before. I've heard good things about it. It'd be nice to do a con abroad. I've not done anything for a while.
Right.
But UK cons, I don't think I can remember them in order. There's ICE in Birmingham. NICE in Bedford.
Yeah,
ICE and NICE. NICE was good last year. I enjoyed it.
Northampton International Comic Expo is in Bedford.
Is that right? I hadn't even thought about that. That's messed up, isn't it? You can say fucked up on this one, can't you?
Yeah. Like are you doing Nottingham again? Or?
I'm not sure. I think I did it last year because I didn't do the lakes.
Okay.
This year I'm going to be doing the lakes, so perhaps not. It really depends. The trouble is, it's that problem where they're all so damn close together. And even if it's just even just a week apart, it's a real problem because you just simple preparation and recovery times, you realise you just don't get anything done between. Unless you're incredibly motivated. And my motivation's appalling, so.
And mine, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If I can think, what's the point of doing anything today between these two cons? I might as well go and boot up a game or something instead. Which is obviously my fantasy life, and in real life I go and do the work that's piling up on my desk.
Yeah. Need someone on Second Life, that's fine.
Oh, dearie me. You're a furry. You are a furry, aren't you?
I told you about furries. We suspect Lamming is a furry. This is we keep asking about it.
So that's a spirit animal. Oh, man.
Thanks, Geeta. That's very good. Cheers, Duncan.
Right, so I'm here on the floor with Sean Jefferson and the Book of Fae, sat next to Sarah Millman, who's just being a nuisance, but we'll just ignore her. So, how are you finding London Super Comic Con?
Interesting. This is my first time back after 2 years, so it's kind of been a bit of a refresher course in terms of the crowd and what kind of artists come here, but it's been a really, really good opportunity to reconnect with a lot of other comic book artists who I haven't seen for a while, so that's a good thing.
So what have you got here with you today?
What have I got?
Give me your pitch.
As opposed to sounding like a drug dealer, what you got?
Yeah, what have you got?
With me today, I've got my comic, The Book of Fae, which originally started off as a webcomic and now it's in print, which I'm pleased about. And I've also got my mini comic, The Adventures of Soosh, which is just a bunch of comics about my weird cat. So
everyone loves cats.
Yeah, obviously, right?
Do you find that does well at the show?
It does surprisingly well. I think it's something to do with her derpy face. So, you know.
Classic.
Everyone likes derpy cats. So, but yeah, so it's kind of more of a side project.
So that was more of a bit of a fun, whereas The Book of Fae is a bigger
yeah. Thing. It's
what is it about?
It's a fantasy-based comic, and if you want like the full detailed pitch, it's about a girl who ends up going on the run after her family home is destroyed by the ruling royal family because they're a bag of dicks. And she accidentally...
Is that how it's written on the website?
It's in the blurb.
Bag of dicks. I think that's in the dictionary.
It's a classification word. Anyway, so then she accidentally becomes the master of a very old fire demon who's been trapped underground for 400 years, and he's just really unamused by humans, mortals, all of it, and now he's got to do what a 14-year-old girl says. It's like, oh, for the love of... So there's a lot of sarcasm, lots of stuff gets set on fire, if that's your kind of thing. Swords.
Oh yeah, we love a pyromaniac. Yeah, we love it. Yeah.
That's the answer to a lot of life's problems, my friend.
Just set fire to it.
Blow it up.
Okay.
Anyway, this took a turn.
You might hear about the London Super Comic Con being set ablaze at the end of the day.
Seriously though, if it catches fire, it was not me. I'm disclaiming it now. I didn't...
I can edit this bit out.
Good, thank you, please. Listen, you're not going to, though, are you?
No.
Of course you're not.
It's hard work, isn't it? I'm not doing that. Yeah, I mean, your style is very much an animation sort of style as well.
Yeah.
Are you influenced a lot by animated?
Yeah, I did my degree in animation, specialising in 2D, and then I...
Which is the best animation, if you ask me?
Yeah, of course it is. There's no contest.
Yeah.
Sorry, stop mo. And then I went on to do my master's, which is where I met this ruffian.
The Milmo.
The magical Milmo. After the master's, I started looking more into illustration stuff because it's kind of a natural sister to 2D animation and 2D design.
Yeah.
And obviously, Milmo had already started her comic, and she invited me to do some conventions with her, and it kind of snowballed from there. Because originally,
did you find that like you were then smart and you got creative?
Yeah, because originally this was just for my personal amusement. Yeah. Essentially, I was kind of
The Book of Fae is an idea that you've had in your head for quite some time. Was it?
It was a development. Originally, it was an idea that I sort of started playing with while I was doing my master's, but I couldn't do anything with it because I was doing other stuff. I'd already committed to another project. And then it kind of began to evolve in the background. It was almost on a back burner. And then when I actually got the chance to work with it, it just exploded. I mean, it started with a cast of maybe 3 characters. And one of the main characters, the Fire Demon, he wasn't in it at all. And then I started doing conventions with Sarah and was like, oh my God, I got to get this guy in here. So, but yeah, it was really a really sort of motivating experience, which is probably half the reason why I still do conventions. Even if you don't make loads of money, you do come away from it being like, wow, I have really got to up my game. These people are really good. So, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So where can people find out more about the Book of Fate and like follow you on Twitter and stuff?
Well, yeah. The Book of Fate at the moment has its own Tumblr.
Yeah.
And that's partially because I'm terrible at building websites. So you can find it on Tumblr at thebookoffae.tumblr.com. You can find it through my Tumblr, which is just seanjefferson.tumblr.com, and it is on DeviantArt as well. Because
it's everywhere.
It's, yeah, it's easier to find.
Yeah.
But I
you say you can't make a website yet, it seems to be all over the internet.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because other people spread it around for me then.
Oh, that's fine.
Which is
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
I am on Twitter as well, but Tumblr and DeviantArt are kind of more of my main forums because it's easy to chat to people, and particularly DeviantArt, you can talk to people who are reading your work, which is really nice. So,
awesome.
Yeah, but yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for saying
that. Oh, thank you for having me and for not, you know, accusing me of pyromania. Thank you.
Oh, not yet. We'll let you know how that goes, folks.
Right. Okay, I'm here with Neil Sandbrook from Fly Comics. Neil, you got one new book launching today, is that right, at LSCC?
There's actually two, because it's the first World 2, Issue 2 outing, and War and Peace Issue 2 as well.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, World's been out, it's been produced for a while now, because I think I reviewed it a few months ago, didn't I? Or?
Yeah, you actually were privy to a draft version of it, so it actually wasn't the final one, but yeah.
Okay, do you want to tell us a little bit about that series?
Yeah, it's, I guess, it is about the world at war, but it's more about sort of the impact on people rather than war itself. And then it kind of sort of moves into a bit of sci-fi as well, which is probably just my bit of fun, really, if I'm honest with you. Yeah.
It's quite gritty at points, isn't it? Is that what you were going for? It's not like dynamic and action. It's a people thing, isn't it? Especially the one in the back of the lorry where they're just travelling through the country. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's and it's got a little bit of a twist to it, but it kind of is asking why you would want to do something, you know. It's exploring that side of people rather than the war itself.
Yeah.
You know, what's people in the situation ultimately.
Yeah. And the one about the dog, I don't want to give anything away. That struck a chord, certainly.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know where the inspiration came from for that one. I don't know, I suppose it's just a bit sort of what goes around comes around a little bit. But how do you put that into a story, you know? Yeah.
And you've got the second issue of War and Peace, which I really enjoyed the first one, mate. It's like a buddy cop story, yeah?
Yeah, very much. There's going to be four issues in total. The third one started now, and I should probably collect them at the end and just publish a trade, really. But it kind of is, and I guess, you know, there'll be a couple of twists as it comes on, but it is just a flat-out sort of action comic, really, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of a homage to the 80s, sort of the dark era of comics, I suppose, yeah.
Have you gone with a different artist on the second issue, have you?
No, it is the same guy. It is the same.
Sorry, bummer.
Yeah, he's just, it kind of started, got about 8 pages in, something like that, and then he kind of disappeared.
Right, okay.
And but then he kind of came back about 6 months later, so...
Is he chained up in Birmingham somewhere, is he?
No, he's American. He's an American artist, yeah. But I think he gets better gigs than what I can pay him for, so, you know, so...
So what's next? What's next for Fly Comics?
I've just starting to get some inked pages in now for it's a project called Between These Worlds, and it's slightly sort of I don't know, it's a bit paranormal, but there's a bit of action in there, and there's a bit of I'm trying to think what inspired me to write it. Actually, it was, what's that film where they sleep and they go into like a dream world. It's killing me. You know, astral projection type, you know, they
right, okay.
They end up in this thing, but it's bugging me now as well. I don't know what it is.
Oh. Well, where can we find you, dude? Where can we find you online?
Sorry?
Where can we find you online?
Flycomics.co.uk is probably the best source. But always Twitter as well and Facebook. We're on both, yeah.
Is there anywhere we can buy physical copies of your book, or do we order them online? Or?
You can order them online. I have to say, I haven't pushed a great deal. I'm kind of waiting until I build up a bank of material and then start pushing it. But I've set up on Comixology as well, so I'm going to be running some stuff through there. But yeah, physical copies, definitely, yeah.
And what cons are you? You do a lot of cons, don't you? What have you got coming up?
I'm kind of losing track to some extent. Got the Birmingham Con coming up in April. I'm doing MCM for the first time. That's going to be just an experience, see what happens there, you know. Yeah. It's one of those. It's a local one for me, so it's not a problem.
I can see you doing well at that, mate. You know, there's good footfall at MCM as well, we always say, you know.
Well, that's what they say. But having said that, I still prefer these events because it's... I'm not really in it for the sales. Do you know what I mean? It's not like...
You always say that.
Well, I know. Money helps, doesn't it? But no, I just like getting my comic out there. And I think these events are probably better than the MCM ones. But you make the money on the MCM ones, so... Yeah.
No, I'd say, if you're going to pick anything up, pick up World, the war stories you're doing. Brilliant. I really loved them. Really good stuff, yeah.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, they're definitely the best seller. People, yeah, you know, I've had people come back and say, have you got the issue too yet? You know, that's great when you do that, you know. So, yeah.
Thanks, dude. Cheers, mate.
Cheers. Thank you.
We keep it very relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah. You swear as much as you like. He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're the same. Yeah. Okay, we're here with Sean Phillips at the LSCCCC. Sean, I absolutely have loved the fade out. Absolutely brilliant, mate. Really enjoyed the run. Which you just finished up on it, haven't you?
We have, yeah. The final trade, the third volume, has just come out this week.
Yep.
And I just imagine it will get collected up in hardcover.
Lovely.
Later on in the year.
And I understand that you're back to Criminal again. Is that the plan?
That's right. Last year we did a Criminal one-shot magazine size variant special, and we're doing a sequel to that at the moment. So I'm halfway through drawing that. It'll be out in April.
Okay.
Last year it was a comic within a comic. So the magazine was like a faked up savage sort of criminal. And this year it's another comic within a comic, but it's a Kung Fu werewolf. Teenage Kung Fu werewolf.
Oh, I'm in. I'm all about the werewolves.
Yeah, you are.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's based on those sort of monster mags that Marvel put out in the 70s. Yeah. The Kung Fu mags they put out, which I've done some research by buying some of those old Deadly Hands of Kung Fu type magazines. God, they're bloody terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, I'm not saying ours is going to be any better. You know, the Barbarian one last year was really hard to do because I think, God, these look terrible. That I could do that, but when you come to do it, you can't. It was a bit of a struggle. But I'm hoping the Kung Fu one will be slightly easier. Yeah. Not that anything about Kung Fu, but
right. Okay. You know. I'd love to see a Kung Fu book by you. I'd love to see a Shang-Chi book, for example, by you.
Oh well, that was one of my favourite ones in the 70s when I was a kid. You know, I loved all that stuff. Paul Glaser's artwork and Mike Zeck and all those guys. Oh yeah.
On Friday we were lucky enough to be here on our own pretty much with Mike Zeck, and I had he was laughing at me because I had like a meltdown for about half an hour, Jane. Just incredible. I love just the flares. Just draw me a pair of flares. Do me. Yeah. So you any other plans, any other work you've got coming out?
Well, Ed and I have got a deal with Image for 5 years where we're exclusive with Image and they'll publish anything we want.
Brilliant.
We don't have to pitch. So the fade out was the first of those projects. More Criminal, and then we'll have a new project out in probably about July, maybe. We want to try and get a few issues in the can before we solicit. Partly because that's Image's new policy, because everyone's late.
Okay.
And also, it's better for us anyway.
Yeah. So you're essentially a trade ahead every time, or a bit more?
Not as much as that. No, at the moment, we're about a day ahead. Usually, I finish drawing it, it goes to the printers, and 3 weeks later, it's in the shops, which isn't ideal. Because, you know, like this week, I've held my hand, so I haven't drawn for a week. So that's it might push the Criminal thing back a week. Hope if I get back to work tomorrow, then I should be okay. I'll make up the time.
Yeah.
So after that, we've got another project, but we're not sure what it is yet because we can do anything we like. We've both got ideas of the sort of thing we want to do. It'll be a new thing.
Okay.
Ed's got an idea for a sort of teenage, early 80s Californian slice of life type thing because that's. He was a teenager in the early 80s in California, so...
Yeah. It'll be very different, will it?
Yeah, well, it's going to be a sort of crime thing again, but it's a different sort of crime.
Okay.
I quite like to do a romance comic, like a straight romance comic, so if he comes up with an idea, then we'll do that.
Yeah. So you're quite a romantic at heart, then?
No, not especially. A few years ago...
Don't do yourself down.
A few years ago, I think it was Fantagraphics put out a collection of all Alex Toth's 50s romance comics, and I bought that, and I thought, this is brilliant, and then I got a few issues of, like, the Marvel romance books... You know, John Buscema and John Romita and Gene Colan.
The Romita stuff is gorgeous.
True romance comics. Who knew that? Yeah. And that is absolutely beautiful stuff. And Duranko did one-off.
Okay.
And I got that in a trade the other day. And that is, I wanted something like that. It looks so psychedelic in the 60s.
Well, he's put his hat back in. I know he's doing a Captain America cover, isn't he?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's really nice.
He'd make a great variant for...
We did talk to him a couple of years ago about doing a variant. And he was too expensive.
Was he?
We'd have to sell another 10,000 copies to pay him.
gotta love his face, don't you? You gotta love him. Yeah, yeah. Well, we've been talking to Pat Mills about he's doing the next episode with us, and right. He's obviously big into British girls comics, which essentially the British side of romance
comics.
They're
bringing out the best of Misty, aren't they? Yeah. Well, I spent 10 years drawing girls comics before before I started.
What comics did you draw back then?
I drew Bunty and Judy and Nikki and Twinkle and stuff like that. When I started, when I was 15 in 1980, and I did about 8 or 9 years before I started working for Crisis. But I was still doing both at the same time for a couple of years. Before I started drawing Dread, I was still drawing Victorian Orphan stories and schoolgirls and stuff.
But it sold really well, didn't it? You
know? Oh yeah, amazingly well. Yeah, I mean, back then it was a massive industry. It was dying when I was involved, but before
it would kill for those weekly numbers.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. And they did some great work. If you hadn't read it, I mean, I never read it until I started working for them. But if you had a sister, you might read her comics or whatever, and there was great stuff, especially the stuff that Pat did on Misty. IPC tend to be better than DC Thompson, I think.
Okay.
They had a lot more interesting artists, a lot of Spanish artists or Argentinian artists, and I liked all that sort of stuff. So, it's much better than you think it might be.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, exactly right. Yeah, I looked at an annual in an Oxfam recently for Misty, and it was like 40 quid.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite collectible.
Yeah,
now, I think,
I mean, I found it really good from personally as an artist because before then, all I wanted to draw was Conan and Spider-Man, and my teenage sketchbooks were full of that sort of stuff. And I met this guy who did girls' comics, and he sort of trained me up into working with him. And it made me learn how to draw someone stood up without girding and flexing all their muscles, or walking down the street, or doing ballet or gymnastics, which was really hard. But, you know,
wearing clothes rather than
spandex. Yeah. And that's the sort of stuff I draw now. You know, it's a proper line from that to my stuff now. I mean, that detour I had in the 90s and early 2000s when I drew superheroes, I felt like I was faking that.
Right, okay.
Because I think you need to be an American, really.
Right, really interesting.
Or to just really be into it. I was really into them, reading them as a kid and drawing them for fun, but I'm too lazy to learn anatomy, I think, and all that stuff. And you've got to be a bit more bombastic. And
that's where Hellblazer must have been in a dream for you, was it? Or?
Oh, yeah, that's just a man in a coat smoking, and that's all I draw now as well. Yeah, different jacket, similar looking bloke.
Think of the smoke.
Smoke is obviously a disgusting habit, but it looks good to give the character something to do with their hands.
Okay.
And the smoke itself, you can make nice. You can fill up a nice background with a bit of smoke.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Your work is similar. That sort of stuff in your work is definitely some of the.
I like drawing the quiet stuff. I'm not that keen on the action.
Yeah.
It's harder to figure out how to do it. You know.
Emotion.
Yeah, I like people frowning. That's the stuff I draw. Just before they get shot.
So your romance comic is going to be a lot of people frowning and then falling in love.
No idea. I mean, all I've said to Ed is I want to do a romance comic. I haven't said anything else about what it might be.
Yeah.
He's got an idea for one, he says, but he hasn't told me what it is yet. It'll be just like our other stuff, but there won't be quite so many murders and a bit more kissing, which is quite hard to draw as
well. You can combine both, to be fair.
Yeah, I know, but that's what we usually do, but we want to try and,
You do as well.
Yeah, I'd just like to try something that's a straight romance that hasn't got any other fantastical elements to it, because I much preferred doing that stuff. The stuff I've done with Ed, I prefer Criminal and Fade Out to Incognito and Fatale, because they've got monsters and superheroes, and like I say, I feel like I'm faking that stuff, and
Would you think it would be like more of an era piece, sort of piece, like more of a James Stewart sort of romantic thing rather than a modern day?
Yeah, I mean, because of the stuff I like, the set in the 50s or 60s, I'd love to do. I like doing period stuff.
Yeah.
Because most of the stuff I do is set in America. It's all foreign to me. Yeah. Modern day America is as hard to research as 1940s America, because whenever I go to the States, I take really boring photos of the sidewalks and the fire hydrants and the alleyways, and it's easy to draw a skyscraper, the top bit, the bit where it joins the ground, and figuring that out, because we don't have them here, do we? And it's getting more like it, I suppose, in London, but that stuff, and even things like, I mean, in the Criminal I'm drawing now, when I get back on Monday, I've got to draw a what they call it, not caravans, what they call trailer park. I've got to draw a trailer park.
Yeah.
And they sent me a few pictures. They look like British caravans, but they're always. But I've got to draw the stuff around it, like the kids' bikes and the fences and the burnt out cars and all that sort of stuff.
You don't really want to read it for yourself.
No, but I want to make it look authentic, because especially when I did the fade out, we had some help on the picture research. But if you're drawing that stuff, you've got to get it right, because otherwise it takes you out of the story and it's disposable for people. And yeah. It's a fun part of the job, but it's very time consuming. Yeah. It's a lot easier since the internet was invented. Back when I started, it'd be library. You'd cut out pictures out of magazines, or you'd go to the library, or you'd... I had one story where it was a story for the Minx, and where the family in the story were Jewish, so they were having Hanukkah, and they were having a meal. So I bought a book on Jewish cookery to find out what sort of stuff they'd be eating, and how the table would be laid with the candlesticks and all that sort of stuff. And that, I've never obviously ever seen
could use
that.
No.
I might try the odd recipe, but you know. But I'm not, you know. But nowadays, you just, it's one click on Google and you found what you need.
Kids got it easy now.
Yeah, they don't know they're born, young people.
Dude, that is brilliant. That is absolutely awesome. Right,
thanks a lot.
Much appreciated.
Cheers.
Right, it's Sunday, and we've got a bit of a special event for you here.
Yep.
We at the Awesome Comics Podcast decided to do the Dirty Paper Challenge, which was nothing to do with toilets. But what we've done is each one of us and James Gibbs, our good friend James
Gibbs, the Gibster,
we've gone around the London Super Comic Con and we've picked out an awful comic.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. The rules were you pick out the worst comic you can possibly
find
for under a pound and then we'll have it judged.
Yeah.
Now, who are we going to get to judge it, Tony?
We couldn't think.
But then all of a sudden, it just came to us.
The most despicable human being in the world.
He's the beautiful kind of evil that you love. It's Mr. Dean Beattie. Hello, Dean.
All right.
Dean has agreed to judge this competition, so you're witnessing it live as it's happening. Well, it's not live because this is recorded, but you know, you get the whole gist. So shall we say the titles as we're doing it?
So the first issue is Demon Slayer issue 1 from Image. There you go, Dean. The second one, Bad Rock and Company number 6, also from Image. Number 3 is The Griffin from Slave Labor Comics. And number 4, we're not saying who's chosen which one.
Yeah, it's all anonymous.
Yeah, all anonymous. Number 4 is Super Pro issue 1 from Marvel.
He's wicked.
That's Isaac.
Right. Demon Slayer is basically dragon porn for dirty old men. I imagine whoever bought this one will be thinking about taking it home and laminating it.
That probably makes it a good thing.
Like it too. Is terrible. Bad Rock and Company looks like the kind of stuff that I started buying comics for, and I don't think it's bad at all. It's just dated.
Interesting. I think someone went for an easy win and has failed there.
It's just dated. It's 90s, and that's okay. The Griffin, I'm going to come back to. Let's just get the NFL Super Pro cover out of the way. It shouldn't be here because it's awesome. I'm throwing that one straight out. That one's awesome. It's basically between Demon Slayer and the Griffin.
And why don't you take a look inside both issues, Ding?
I don't know if I'm brave enough. Oh, God.
If you look at that one, it's also got a sort of back cover that makes it look like there's a comic on the other side, but there isn't.
That's just trickery. And I like the fact that they've actually given this woman a hairy armpit.
That is weird, isn't it? He drew that in a minute ago, I think.
Yeah. It's obviously just hatching gone awry, but she does look a bit French. Which one do I think is... I think the Griffin, they had an idea of what they wanted, but they weren't a good enough artist to pull it off, so it just looks really 2D and flat and terrible. The Demon Slayer, I must just take umbrage with, because
if you use the word umbrage, this is getting serious.
As in Dolores. That's the only reason I know that word. The Demon Slayer one is the worst one for me, because it doubles as porn. And I just hate to think of the people that have bought this over the years. All 6 of them.
Seven, including the person who bought it cheap.
Yeah, that for me is all... And the woman's face as well has been traced, but they haven't even traced it well. Yeah. So they're not even good at tracing. So, yes, Demon Slayer wins as the most terrible cover
of the day. Amazing. We're going to post all of these covers onto the Facebook page so everyone can see. But who do you think picked what comic? This will be interesting. Then we'll let you know who the winner actually is.
This is you three, and who's the fourth?
James Gibbs.
Right, okay. Vince.
Super Pro. Okay.
Dan Badrock.
Gibbs
Griffin.
So are you indicating Demon Slayer.
What I'm saying is that you picked it up thinking, well, I like that, but I know no one else will.
Okay, so yeah. Here is the actual results. Okay. NFL Super Pro,
yeah,
which came in fourth.
With Gibbs, sir.
James Gibbs. Bad Rock and Company, which came third. Tony Esmond.
Oh.
He went for an easy win and missed.
Yep.
By a mile.
Yeah.
The Griffin, which was a special kind of bad, was me.
So I didn't get any right.
No. You got the...
And Demon Slayer, that filthy dragon porn that should have been bought by no one, was Dan Guns Butcher.
The worst thing about that is if you look at it closely, it looks like Dan could have drawn it.
drop the mic.
I think sometimes we take audio recording to a new height, don't you?
Yeah, definitely.
And then we take it to the highest heights and then we jump off.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've been pretty good at it so far, haven't
you? Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Setting new heights.
Yeah.
New lows.
We're setting standards.
I feel a bit tired.
Yeah. I'm fucking healthy in that, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How's your weekend been, Lonely Vincent?
Lonely.
Has it? Well, I've been here. And the Danster. And the Gibster, who's gone off for a boot.
I've never felt more alone.
Rep been winding you up constantly, so that helps.
Yeah.
No, it's been a nice weekend, hasn't it?
It's been very nice.
Yeah.
We haven't finished our packed lunches yet, have we?
No.
Oh, we'll have to look forward to.
Yay!
Get stuck into our packed lunches. No euphemism.
That's his nickname, the packed lunch.
Oh, yeah. The pride of the butchers.
So what have we learned at London Super Comic Con?
John Lake looks like
Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. He doesn't really.
From the nose up.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. A little.
A little
version of Ryan Reynolds. Sorry, John.
We've learned that we've got some really nice listeners who have dropped by.
There we go.
And talked to us. They didn't talk to Tony.
It's a lot of them talk to me.
Yeah, and
they
then
said,
they left.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Cosplayers actually do buy things. A cosplayer bought my comic. And
I think, let's clarify that. A cosplayer bought a thing.
Of mine, yeah.
Yeah.
And
a cosplayer.
Two cosplayers.
Really?
Two things.
They did, didn't they?
Yeah.
One of them was a picture of that cosplayer dressed up in costume, though.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I've got a couple of things then. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Thing. Go on.
Yeah. No, it's the same as him.
All right. Okay.
Stop trying
You're
to create a rift.
Then, weren't you?
Stop trying to create a rift between me and Dan.
I'd say the cosplayers are after a certain thing, and kind of, I'm not sure if they'll take punts on small press stuff. Maybe some of them do, but from my experience in this show, not
right,
but I think that varies from show to show. Apparently,
we had a very nice lady cosplayer come by, bought something, didn't she? What was her name again? I can't remember now.
Sarah,
yeah. She was nice, and she had a Torquemada t-shirt on, so that was good.
Yeah, well, she said she's going to be cosplaying Torquemada, and her friend's going to be cosplaying Nemesis.
That's can't a strange that.
Yeah.
Relationship.
Yeah,
do you think they get at it
in costume?
Yep,
we can only dream.
Yeah, I hope they do. And that would be a lovely little happy ending to this podcast, wouldn't it?
It would.
If we watched two cosplayers having sex.
No. As you can tell, it's been a really long weekend. It's been a fun weekend. It's been a tiring weekend.
Everyone's been tired.
Yeah. Everyone's been telling me how tired I look.
I haven't, they?
Yeah. Do I look bad?
You just look normal.
Oh, God, that's bad, isn't it?
It's all right, Vince. You only got a 50-hour drive back to where you live. It's fine.
We did get given a rather strange comic.
Oh, yeah. More about that on an upcoming show.
Yeah.
Christ. Yeah. Once we had the therapy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Borderline illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah, borderline, that's what we'll say.
I think my first ever Dirty Paper Challenge was a success.
I think, and then we had the best judge ever in BT.
Dean BT. Brilliant.
Yeah, so overall,
successful weekend.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I feel quite happy in myself.
Yeah. You really need to get dressed though, Tony.
I know. Yeah. Sometimes it needs airing.
Yeah. Have you brought a sleeping bag with you?
I'm going under the table.
Oh, right, fair play.
Never leaving this place.
Oh, they'll never let me leave. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, thank you very much for checking out the clip show. As you can tell, this is the last clip, and we're all pretty exhausted. We're about half an hour away or so from it finishing. Chris Sizer has just walked up.
Fucking hell, he's been abusing me online.
So as you can see, it's all winding down now. But it's been a great weekend. And, we'll see you on the next show.
Yep. Love you.
From Dan, Tony and myself, stay safe.
Stay awesome.
And I love you.
Bye.